Hello, 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 and also, FYI, hello, it's Tom here once more with another My Mate Bought a Toaster. First of all, before we dive into Paul Foot's purchase history, which you're going to love, just to say thank you very much indeed for all your lovely comments about Catherine Ryan. We had nearly record numbers for the episode last week. Lots of clips doing stuff online, which was lovely, and loads of new listeners, which is obviously delicious. So thank you, and hello if you've just joined the show. Thanks for joining us. Where the heck have you been? Catherine's episode, by the way, is on our YouTube channel in full, the whole episode in glorious Technicolor. So if you haven't already, head over to our YouTube. It's youtube.com/@mymatebought a toaster. I know it's weird that the at is in there. It confuses me, but it's there. So youtube.com/@mymatebought a toaster. That's our YouTube channel. And if you could follow us, then that'd be great. I think once I get over like 1,000 followers, I can actually earn about 8p. So please follow us and eventually it'll happen. Anyway, it's a great episode today and I've got a super exciting guest to tell you all about, but I'll do that at the end of the ep. Shall we crack on? Paul Foot, here we go.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. With Tom Foot's talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Hello, welcome back. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster, the show that invites on people who then open their Amazon account and I tell their life story through the things they've bought. My guest this week is the fabulous comedian, so funny, and he's wearing a green boiler suit, which is also, I mean, sartorially very, very high-end, Paul Foot.
Well, it's the effort one must make, you know.
Yes.
For a podcast.
Yes. A big podcast like this, one of the big guys.
Yes, always to wear a nice boiler suit.
Do you have a variety of colours? Because you're wearing a lush lawn green at the moment.
Yes, I've got a bright red one. I've got a blue one that I tend to wear only on stage to the show because it's my show. It's like ties in with a poster.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
And I've got a pink short-sleeved one for the summer.
Oh, wow. You've got a boiler suit for all seasons.
Yeah,
four for each season.
Yeah, and they're quite warm, actually, when you wear them.
Yes.
But also quite cool in summer.
When did you first enter the world of boiler suits?
Maybe about 1 year ago. What? Initially, tentatively.
Yes, of course.
Perhaps wearing it for my shows, you know, but then taking it off after and getting changed into other clothes.
Yes.
Then realising I can wear a boiler suit all the time.
I feel like there's something in that. That the person you are on stage is your real person, and now that's leaked out into your actual life. The sort of strength you feel to wear what you like on stage, you know what I mean, and wear something expressive and different. And
I think so, because years and years ago, I used to just wear this is 20 years ago, just like jeans and a T-shirt. That's all I wore
classic,
on stage,
classic, yeah.
sort of tailored T-shirt.
Yeah.
But then one time I went to a show and then I was wearing like a tie and a strange sort of cardigan.
Mm.
And then another comedian said, "Why are you, this is unusual." And I said, "I've just been at a family sort of party and this is sort of what I wore because it was like a more formal, like someone's 80th birthday or something."
Mm. Mm.
And then he said, "Well, you should wear that on the stage every time."
Okay.
And then that led to wearing different clothes, and I actually went to like a stylist who took me around and found all different clothes. And I, at that time, my sort of brief was eccentric English lord, and I had lots of sort of, you know, things with checked patterns and things like that. And then I'd wear them on stage because it sort of fitted my stage performance.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, it becomes you, because then I would think, well, I better wear it because I'm going to that meeting with Channel 4, whoever it was.
And I'm known as that guy.
So I wear that.
Yeah.
And then you'd think, well, I'm wearing it anyway because I'm having lunch with so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then you'd start, and then you would become.
That's what I'm saying.
You'd become the outfit, then you'd wear it all the time.
There's no more Mufti for Foot.
Yes.
You're Paul Foot 24/7.
And then it, as it evolves, that then evolved into less of a sort of fusty, I suppose, into sort of leather jackets and sort of a tie that looked all sort of, but the tie was all sort of short and loose and sort of not done up properly.
Yeah.
And that led to a sort of different feel.
Right.
And then that's now led into this boiler suit feel.
Yeah, yeah.
And then one just one evolves. I feel more relaxed now I'm in this boiler suit. Different sort of feel.
The power of uniform is a huge thing.
Yeah.
For good and bad. But I always like it for almost anonymity when you're at school and things. The idea that you just sit in a uniform and you don't have to worry about how you're perceived for making choices, especially when you're a kid, right? A choice with fashion can be dangerous.
Well, that's the idea of a school uniform, isn't it?
That's it.
But I always found it very crushing. I always found that any idiosyncrasy I wasn't able to do if I wanted to have my tie a bit shorter,
yeah,
or any change to anything, you couldn't do it.
Did that bother you then?
Yeah, it did bother me. I had to wear grey... I think they said, was it grey trousers? Awful. Why didn't they just say black trousers?
Awful. Well, they do nowadays.
But they said grey, yes, and then they do, it had to be within a certain range of grey. Oh, that's too light a grey. That's too dark a grey. I mean,
what, is there some headmaster with a Dulux, you know, colour chart come in?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, that's too much on the hem and this, and that's too much like this. And it was all sort of very complicated.
We've talked about clothes a lot, and obviously it's interesting. Actually, it does tell you, you know, it, you find out loads about people when you get into the clothes tangent,
yeah,
which we've done. There's also a tactical reason for doing it, which is we've got a pad because this show is about going through your Amazon purchase history, Paul. How many things have you ever bought on Amazon?
One thing. And well, I say one thing, it was a multiple purchase of seven sort of whatever you call it, of oregano oil pills. Because you see, the thing is, I wanted oregano oil pills. I could get them in bulk order to make a saving.
Yeah.
My mother, well, it was one of those things where my mother and stepfather, and they said, oh, I really should, oh, it's ever so good for the health, and something to do with my stepfather had had some health problems, but it was relieved after having the oregano oil pills. Okay. So I was in that situation where I couldn't not have them.
Yes.
Because every time I had a cold or felt a bit run down or was even just a bit tired, maybe I hadn't slept that well that night,
yeah,
they would immediately then say, have you been taking the oregano oil pills?
Yes.
And then I'd have to say, no. And have you ordered them? Mm-hmm. No. So it's a bit like, you know, when you're ill and all you want to do is just lie in bed and get better, then people say, oh, there's various people say, oh, you must have. Well, yeah. I always find you chew a piece of garlic, yeah, with having a bit of yogurt. What you must do, I do the after such, and you have a little bit of rosemary and stuff it up your nose. And if you don't do it, then they'll say, Tom, did you stuff the rosemary up your nose?
I didn't know that was going to work.
And then they'll say, oh, you should have done.
That's why you died.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they'll say. You know, at your funeral, that's what they'll say.
That's what they
when
say.
You're there in your boiler suit.
And you can be like...
I say, well, he never had the oregano.
You can be in bed for like a week.
Yeah.
Like fighting the infection. And they'll say, you'd have been over it in a day if you had the thing. So in the same way, I have to have the oregano oil pill.
This is some sort... I'm sure you've made a rod for your own back here. This is really an ongoing... So do you still have them now when you get ill? You have to go to the oregano pills?
Well, I have them every day because otherwise,
God,
if I became ill, they would say, have you been taking the oregano pills every day?
This is how gangsters work.
Yeah, I need to have them every day.
This is how gangsters work. They go into a shop and say, you want to keep your shop going in this town? Give us, you know, 10% of your profits or whatever, $50 a day. Otherwise, we're going to smash the crap out of your shop. You've got this, but with our oregano tablets.
Well, that's exactly... In fact, it was more than that. They were the gangsters in this case because they said I needed to take oregano pills. So they gave me I don't know what the name of the thing is.
No.
The jar. It's not a jar, is it?
We could say jar. Go for jar.
The plastic thing they come in. I don't know what
I'm not on Amazon on my
I don't know what the name for that thing is.
Oregano oil.
So they gave me a jar of them.
Should we say vial? That feels quite scientific.
They gave me a jar of them and said, you know, for immediate crisis, you know, you must get straight onto it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, of course, I had to then replace the jar they gave me.
Yeah, okay.
So then I was then immediately into the bulk purchase. I needed to buy at least two, one for me and want to give back to them.
Right.
Then okay. I discovered you can make a saving if you buy 7 at once.
Yeah.
So that's my purchase I've
You're
made.
You're bulk buying oregano.
Yeah, I'm bulk buying oregano, and I've bought... That's my first thing I've ever bought on Amazon.
I think if we sat here and you hadn't told me what you bought, I wonder how long I'd sit here in a sort of infinite monkeys as a typewriter way. How long would it take me to get to oregano?
Well, we could have done the 20 guesses, couldn't we?
Yeah. It's too late now to know.
Oh, my days, this is so embarrassing. I don't remember buying all these silly little strange things. I swear on my life, I was forced by my wife with an ABBA penknife that I bought on ABBA. Wait a minute.
There's a reviews of oregano... for life, wild oregano oil. Description, yeah. The wild oregano oil.
Yeah.
Is this what, are you on the oil or are you on the tablets?
I'm not on that oil. I'm on the tablets. This is not the thing.
It's organically cultivated in Greece. It's distilled exclusively with steam without the use of solvents. Due to its high concentration in carvacrol, over 85%, and low concentration in thymol, the oregano essential oil possesses excellent beneficial properties for the human organism. Now, that's where I start to go, I think science just left the building. Do you know what I mean? That sentence, excellent beneficial properties for the human organism. What does that mean?
Well, you see, the thing is, you're talking to the wrong person. I need to take this every day now, and it's now psychosomatic.
Yeah.
If I don't have it, I'll be thinking, oh, my God.
Well, could this be some sort of intervention? In your oregano addiction.
What, that you stopped me having to...
Yeah, today's episode is called My Mate Bought Less Oregano.
Yeah, well, it's a sort of... becomes a superstition, doesn't it?
That's right.
I'm going away on tour tomorrow for about 12 days. Yeah. If I didn't have my oregano, you know, I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm having to get through...
So you literally go, boiler suits, oregano, jokes.
Yes.
Paul Foot's on tour. We will tell you when the tour dates are, by the way, very shortly, because you should go and see Paul Foot live. He's very, very funny indeed. It's not just oregano oil material, is it?
Topical
application, acne, insect bites, toothache, etc. Dilute 2 to 5 drops in half a teaspoon of olive oil and apply topically.
Toothache, etc. presumably means having toothache and also not having toothache.
Yeah.
my teeth feel fine today, but I need to take oregano oil. Just in case.
Does oregano oil... So here are the questions that Google comes up with when we say, does oregano oil, right? There's a few. Remove skin tags.
It doesn't. No, I do remove skin tags, though, with that cryo tag.
Oh!
It's that thing that's minus 274 degrees and you put it on and it burns it.
Oh!
It's marvellous.
Are you a skin tag kind of guy?
Well, I had a few, not very
neck-wise,
many.
Because often people get them around the neck.
Yeah, a few around the neck, you know. And then, and on it, it says you mustn't push it onto the skin. I ignored that.
Oh, you absolute.
Just get it right on.
Well, you can do what you like because you've got oregano oil.
Well, yeah.
So you can get as injured as you need to or burnt as you want because you've got the oil to
come. It's only a little tiny burn. And then people say, oh, what's that funny mark on? And then it goes off, and then the skin tag falls off.
Right, okay, fine.
Marvellous.
So don't use oregano oil for that. Does oregano oil expire?
No, it keeps forever.
Good.
Well, I think so. I mean, it's still going to have the same chemicals inside there, isn't it? It's going to be, unless there was some nuclear radiation or massive heat or something that went through my house, it's still going to have... whatever chemicals are in there.
Yeah, okay, so it's still got its stuff. Okay, fine, they can't really go off. This is quite useful for me. Does oregano oil help hair growth?
I don't know.
You've got lovely
hair. My hair's growing.
I've always loved what you do with the hair. So we should describe the haircut that you've got, because I like the style with the long bits down the side and the short on top.
Yes.
It's good. It's like a mullet, but it's gone all the way around the sides.
It's not really a mullet at all.
In fact, the mullet's been pushed round to the sides.
Yeah, it's not a mullet, technically.
No, it's not. Well, what is it? What would you call it?
That doesn't have a name. My hairdresser modelled it on my personality. And it just says it's just modelled on me. I don't know what it's called. It doesn't have a name.
It's very cool. And you don't see many people with that haircut.
No, there aren't many people.
When did you first get that?
Well, I had it, but it's a bit shorter now at the back than it used to be, but it's more or less the same.
Yeah.
It's been the same for about 25 years.
Yeah, no, I remember.
Yeah, and my hairdresser just modelled it with my personality and then just carried on, really.
Having your hair like that in a brilliant, cool way, right, and the word eccentric, springs to mind, right?
Yes.
Do you, or how, I find that very cool. And I wish I was brave. And I wish I had done stuff like that and worn things that were different. And I always wanted to fit in, even though inside I felt like I wanted to do different stuff. Do you know what I mean? And I look at you in the boiler suit and the haircut, looking cool and very Paul Foot. And I think, there is a man who is expressing himself. Well done, you. Has it always been easy, or do you find it at times hard, or have you found it at times hard to do
that? I don't even think about it.
I love that.
I just sort of
do it.
I don't think, oh, I'm wearing a boiler suit. That's unusual.
Mm.
I think wherever I go, I don't fit in anywhere. So it doesn't really matter to me.
Yes.
And
who needs to fit in? Who wants to fit in?
I'm now in the adult world, not at school.
Yeah.
So people aren't going to come up to me and say, that's really stupid what you're wearing, and then throw a stink bomb in my face. So even though there might be someone at the airport or something who thinks, oh, don't like that.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't matter to me, does it?
No.
And it surely matters what to oneself what one wears.
Yes.
It's like when people, I don't know, I mean, it's just self-esteem, isn't it?
Yes, but that, and yours must be pretty robust.
I think it's quite robust.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I think so. But also with doing stand-up as well, you know, going on stage at maybe rougher clubs, maybe on a, you know, Jonglers 20 years ago.
Yeah, in those days. Then I would be more self-conscious, I suppose, because anything that was slightly weird, they would just latch onto.
Yeah, they're like bullies, right.
So it wasn't like, I wasn't self-conscious is the wrong word, but just, I was just wary because if you wore something unusual, that would just be one more thing for them to shout at you about.
Mm. But if they did shout at you, didn't bother you?
Didn't bother me other than the fact that it's not, you know, I think when I was doing those sort of clubs a long time ago, I'd come on stage and sometimes they would just say, no, I hadn't even got to the microphone. No, that, no. And then there was no way back from there.
Mm.
So if I was very eccentrically dressed, that would be more likely to happen. So it was probably on a practical level, it was better to do something that was less likely to cause that to happen.
And when you're doing that, the eccentrically dressed thing on stage that might be luring them out, how do you feel when they go no, or they shout at you, or they say stupid hair or whatever? Do you go, well, it's my character and it's me and I just don't care? Or does it hurt?
No, it doesn't hurt.
Hmm.
And they wouldn't say anything about the clothes particularly anyway. It would just be, that would be something for them to just think, no, I don't like that.
Mm.
But it comes down to context, all these things, doesn't it?
And, yeah.
And even, like, for example, if I'm doing a TV recording or something, and it's very important, I wouldn't necessarily put my brand new shoes on or my brand new outfit, because then it feels a bit like, it's like I'm making too much effort.
Yes, you want to feel comfortable.
Like a big thing.
Yes, this is something I learned very recently with an important gig. Someone said to me, don't wear the brand new, exactly what you're saying, don't wear the brand new thing that makes you feel a bit, oh, the sleeves are a bit short and the shoes are hard. Wear the thing you feel really cool and yourself in and looks good. And that really made a difference.
Yeah, it's very important.
Mm.
And then if it's still important but less sort of critical, then you could wear the new shoes and wear them in, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Does oregano oil thin blood?
I hope not.
I'm so sorry. It's your fault for only buying one thing on Amazon. You've become an oregano oil spokesman.
I want my blood to be of a thick, you know.
Mm.
Not, I don't want it all thin.
You're quite healthy, though, aren't you?
Quite healthy, yes.
Do you do exercise?
Yeah, I do, not as much as I ought to, maybe.
Everyone says that.
I should get their heart pumping more, but I always walk up the stairs, for example. I always go up, like coming out of the tube. Mm. I always walk up the escalator, including a really long escalator.
Yes.
Hardly anyone else does.
Do you start to avoid certain stops? I'm not going to Tottenham Court Road with those stairs.
No, I like it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like going up the stairs.
Yeah.
But then I get to the top and I actually feel like my heart's been working.
Yes.
So I'm one of the few people who actually has just walked.
Yes.
I suppose some people go to the gym.
I think stairs are a free gym.
Yeah, but some people go in a car and drive to the gym and then they have to go on some sort of machine that tells them what they've done. And then I just think, well, I might as well just walk up the stairs.
Yeah.
One time I was in a hotel and then I was in room, I think it was room 1423.
Good to know.
Or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, that would be good. I can walk up 14 flights of stairs to get to the room. So I then said, like, I want to walk up the stairs, and they just weren't prepared for this.
Yeah.
They said, no, we need to take the lift, sir. And I said, no, I want to go up the stairs. And there was and eventually they found some way of me going up the stairs.
Yeah.
But then I've discovered it was all on the first floor. Like, it was rooms 1-1 something were to the left and rooms 1-4 something were to the right. It was only about 6 stairs anyway.
Still did it, though.
Still did it.
Still felt the heart going.
Yes, but I do sometimes if I'm in hotels and I'm on like the 20th floor, it's really good exercise.
Yes.
Going to the 20th floor.
Yeah.
It really tests it.
And also, what's good about it is that it has a very clear goal. There is a very clear reward for you. Your room with comfort and a TV with probably the sports channels and a pretty nice shower. All those things are waiting for you. Because often you do exercise and you think, at the end of this, I'm just going to get in the car and drive back from the gym or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a clever idea to use the stairs because it has a very clear end point.
Which is your room. And then on the way down, which is also good exercise.
Is it? I enjoy going downstairs because I like to pretend I'm tap dancing.
Oh.
And I really feel like I've got quick feet. You know what I mean? Like a sort of Lionel Messi. Pa, 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 pa. I don't think I have, but I like to feel like that. But is that good exercise?
Yeah, I think it is. Oh, one time I was in a hotel and what was it? It was a nightmare. It was a disaster.
Excellent.
I was got in the lift and then went to, so it was, I don't know, like the 20th floor and went to go to the ground floor. But I was with a friend and we'd like pressed a button or something and it was pressed the wrong number by mistake.
Oh, God.
So then sort of like, then he pressed another button by mistake, like as a joke, you know.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember exactly what happened, but then we ended up pressing all the numbers. And it was like, hey, that's a laugh, pressed all the numbers.
Yeah.
But then we went down one flight of flight and then someone got in.
Oh.
And then obviously realised we'd pressed all the numbers.
Were you sniggering?
No, they were just eyeballing us as we went down every single...
And every time the doors open, they just look at you.
In fact, I seem to remember we got to about level 18 and then we just ran out and then ran down the stairs.
And this is where when you were a grown adult.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Not a child.
But I hadn't thought it through. It was just like, oh, that's a laugh. We can visit all these numbers, and then it was just, oh, hang on, we're not the only people in this hotel.
Yes.
Someone's going to get really, really pissed off. They're going to get on, and it's going to take them like half an hour to get to the bottom.
Serves them right for not using the stairs.
But there was no justification for what I did.
I like the remorse. And I'm sure that person appreciates the remorse, but it's too late now.
It's far too late. What's the budget history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate
bought a toaster. The whole point of this show is to go through your shopping history to get your life story. And at the moment we've learned a lot and it's been very funny so far. The question then is, where do we go next to learn about Paul Foot? So where else? What about Argos?
Argos, yes, I have an account with them.
Can I have a look at it?
Yes, I only ever ordered one thing on it.
This is becoming a theme.
It was 6 years ago and I've lost access to the... But right. I'll see if I can get into it.
You have a real one-hit wonder approach. One-click wonder, you are, Paul Foot.
Yeah, so I ordered them. I ordered some chopping boards.
For the oregano?
Yes. And I ordered them and then because it was my first time... They gave me free delivery.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah, but I've never used it since.
Can we see the chopping boards or?
Yeah, I'm just signing in.
Oh God, okay, good luck. I can see he's doing it.
I'm signing in securely.
Can I have a look?
Yeah, of course you can. Oh. I'm just seeing if it works.
It's gone to a sort of blank page. I think it would have blocked you by now if it wasn't going
to
work.
Yeah, it's gone to one of those blank pages where you don't know whether it's worked or not.
They'll be getting notifications at Argos now. Mr. Foot is back.
It's literally nothing there. It's just literally blank.
Let's have a look at Paul Foot's Amazon purchase history. There we are. We are looking at argos.co.uk and it is 100% blank. I think it's because they're so gobsmacked that you're back.
Is it because there's no internet here?
No, you've got internet.
We're not very good internet.
Account.
Because we're under the ground.
Oh, here we go. Recent orders.
Ah,
here we go.
Loaded in.
Oh, look. So we can do this. You've got three orders.
Oh, have I?
Is it going to be three chopping boards?
One of them will be those. It wasn't chopping boards. It was that those sort of Tupperware plastic container things.
Oh, I love Tupperware.
That I bought.
I love Tupperware. It's just an unknown error has occurred. So we have the date of it, Monday the 29th of May. And then
what year?
2017.
Yeah, that's when I ordered it.
That was the Tupperware.
That's the plastic. You know, when you want to put things in the fridge and things.
Oh no, of course, yeah, they're brilliant.
Have you got it?
I can't see it because it says it doesn't exist anymore. Tupperware is a good Argos sort of vibe.
So that's one of the things I ordered.
Mm. Tupperware to what? Preserve meals you haven't finished,
yes.
Or
you know, put things in the fridge.
Yeah. Still or, got the Tupperware?
Still got it. Yes, still works well.
Yeah.
Does it not tell you the details?
No, order not found for that one.
Because that's too long ago.
This is why Amazon's so good, because it doesn't do this. Exactly. Sunday the 5th of September 2021. Let's have a look.
2021? What did I order then?
Don't know. Order not found. Yeah, order not found. Yeah.
And there's no way.
So I could see three orders, and when I go into view order details.
Oh, I think I bought a brush.
Okay. What did you buy for hair or
for my cleaner?
Okay,
because she said she needed a brush.
Right,
£15.
Yes.
Oh, I know what it was. It was £15. It was a but I didn't have it delivered. I picked it up.
Okay,
it was
because the delivery wasn't free.
Yeah, it was a mop with a bucket.
Yes,
because my cleaner said she wanted one of those mops where you've got the thing, you can push the thing in the plasticky thing and squeeze it out,
which is very satisfying.
Yeah, and then I ordered something else again in September for £13.50.
Any ideas?
Doesn't say what it was.
No, but can you remember? Because you've remembered so far. So we've had
can't remember what it
Tupperware
was.
And a mop. So tell me about the cleaning situation then. So you've got a mop with a bucket.
Mop and bucket.
Have you ever used it, or do you just get your staff to use it? Do you sit there? Do you sit there just watch her?
I don't know. I have used it once, actually, in the porch, but not really. I've never really used it.
No, okay. How many times a week does your cleaner come?
Oh, once a month she comes.
Once a month?
Yes.
Once a month? Why only once a month?
Well, I'm away quite a lot most of the time.
So the house is fine. Do you live alone?
Yeah.
Oh, the dream.
And I do clean things myself, you know.
Yeah.
But once a month is enough.
Yeah.
For the dusting and for the vacuuming. It doesn't get very dirty, really.
No, if you're not around as well, because you're gigging all the time.
Yes.
Do you like living alone? Is it nice?
Yeah, it's lovely. I love it.
Tell me the best thing about living alone. There's too many.
Well, you can do what you like.
Things in my house, yes.
I mean, you just.
Walk around naked?
You can walk around naked. I just like even. Like I spoke to someone, they've been married for like many decades, you know, and then. It was like, I said, you couldn't just have a bath at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, you couldn't.
Because they'd be, like, why did you do that?
Oh.
Even if it was very relaxed, even if it was just one of those marriages that's completely casual and relaxed, it'd still be,
yeah.
Well, that was unusual there, Tom. You in the bath, went in the bath about 2 in the morning.
I'd have to explain myself.
Oh, I heard your footsteps going down the stairs. Mm. You went down into the kitchen about 3:30. What was that about? Mm. Is it all right? Did you need an aspirin? Are you all right again?
And the thing is, what you can't do in that situation is say, mind your own fucking business.
No.
That's not a happy marriage.
No.
If you go for a bath at 2 a.m, what have you been doing? You mind your own business.
I can do what I like.
I can't. I have to explain myself constantly to my wife, my children, and my animals in my house. That's the thing as well with dogs.
Yeah.
As soon as you stand up, everyone's up. Like a teacher in a class in an old-fashioned school. Standing
all the
up
children.
There,
you've trained all your children
to
stand
up. Of course, if father's in here, you must stand up. Don't look him in the eye. So what other things can you do in living a house by yourself? Are you a silence kind of guy, or do you have music?
Music.
Oh, do you?
You have music all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, I love music.
Do you? Because I would like, I like the idea of my dream, right? If you ever want to do a swap and come and live in my house for a week and I'll go to yours. I like the idea of nothing but the sound of a ticking clock.
Oh.
And I'm just reading.
That's nice. I like the music. And I like the fact I can go to all different places.
Mm.
Like last night, I decided to have a kind of early sleep on my sofa. It's quite comfortable on my sofa.
And can I ask a quick question? Did anyone ask why you were doing that?
No.
No, they didn't.
Because there was no one there.
Because you've made great life choices.
And so I just, and I, it's all comfy with my nice cushion that I've made myself, and I just lay on the sofa and had a little doze.
How long?
Oh, about 3 hours.
Oh, that's not a doze. Well, that's a sleep.
And then I got up in the night and did a load of things.
What time were you up?
I got up about 1 and I went to bed about 5.
Oh, wow.
And then did a load of, caught up with a load of emails and loads of stuff I had to catch up with.
Yeah. You know that we used to, our circadian rhythm used to be that we'd wake up between 1 and 2 and we'd do a bit of business.
That's what I've always been like.
And then we'd have what's called the second sleep.
Yes, I've always been like that. And that's interesting you say that, because I've always found that I don't naturally just go off into a sleep for, say, 8 hours.
My friend Kat the other day, she slept for 11 hours, she's telling me.
Sometimes I do, if I'm exhausted or something. Hmm. But I nearly always have a short sleep,
yeah,
a couple of hours, and then I wake up and just... So is that circadian rhythm to do with when we were...
Yes.
In the,
there was a, there was
in the forest.
Probably, because we'd have to wake up and deal and make sure that our cave was safe. Yes.
I know that some people, like me, I'm often awake in the night.
Mm.
And I know that that's, that I was one of the, ancestrally would have been one of the people who was the sort of night watch guards.
Yeah.
And that's, I was descended from those people.
Ancestrally, I would have been the guy who made breakfast, because at 6, 7 a.m., I'm like, bah, 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 I am peaked on Price.
Yes.
11 out of 10. And then by 6 or 7 p.m., I'm good to sleep.
I'm the opposite to you.
Interesting. But this is wonderful, because this is really affecting me for gigs. Why stand up? I just find exhausting, because I turn up at gigs and I'm just...
It's the wrong... Yes, whereas for me, it's the right time. That's when I'm just coming to life.
And you've always been like that?
Always been like that. And that's interesting. That's the first time I've heard that, that thing about waking up in the middle of the night for a bit and doing some stuff.
Google it, the second sleep. Patreon.com/toasterpod.
I've got 4 locations for sleeps in my house.
Okay,
and I can use any of them.
Let me guess them. We've got the sofa.
Sofa.
We've got your bedroom.
My bedroom.
Now I'm struggling, but don't tell me.
The third one's obvious.
The porch. No, sorry, just you mentioned you cleaned it.
You said, is having said what you just said.
The bath.
You just said, well, the bath, I suppose, is a fifth one.
Yes.
Could be.
But, but dangerous. Don't nap in the bath, especially when you live by yourself and your cleaner only comes once a month.
But you just said what option number 2 was.
Yeah. The bed.
Yeah, option number 3 is obvious from what you just said.
The spare bed.
Spare bed.
Spare,
yes.
Bed. Spare bed.
And sometimes it's like, oh, I like, it's like going for a little holiday in the spare bedroom.
Oh, I love that. It's your own little personal premier inn.
Yeah. I haven't been in there for ages.
Treat yourself. Because, have a little staycation.
Because it's all clean. So I'm leaving it clean for when my next guest comes. Mm. But when my next guest comes, let's say they're just there for a couple of days, I won't bother washing the sheets after they've left and I'll just get in. And that's my little place to go for a little lie down.
I grade my guests by whether or not we need to clean the sheets after they've been there for a night. And I'm not going to name any names, but there'll be some people who stay and I'll think, it's fine. Because the spare room in our house is for, you know, kids waking up or whatever, and we just need to, one of us is ill, we go in the spare room. And there's certain people, family mostly, in fact, all our family, it's fine. If they're there for 1 or 2 nights, I'm not going to clean the sheets.
Yes.
But then you do get certain friends where you think, I am going to clean this before.
I was staying with a friend recently, and then I was just there one night and slept in this bed. And then afterwards I said, oh, shall I strip the sheets and all this stuff? Oh, don't worry about that. She said, I'll do that later, blah, blah, blah.
Do you think she was...
And then that's when later I realised, because I came back, but I wasn't staying that next night, that she was just going, you know, she wasn't bothered. I just slept in it for one night.
And did you think, she loves me?
Yeah, and I was all clean. I'd had a bath before getting in. I was all clean and that. And she was just like, she couldn't be bothered to change 4 pillowcases, one massive duvet thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how my cleaner does it. I never do I don't know how you do a double duvet. I couldn't do it on my own.
So
she does it on her own.
I can tell you. Do you want me to tell you?
No, I don't want to know. No,
I'm so tempted to force the information onto you.
No, I want it to... you know, I don't want to learn. I know that that's what she does, the cleaner.
Okay, so we've got...
the fourth location.
Hang on, but yes, so we've got the fourth location. So the bath maybe is a fifth. The fourth location, so we've done... Well, now I'm struggling because we've done sofa, we've done the two bedrooms, and this is another spare bedroom.
Play 20 questions.
Okay. Is it indoors?
Yes.
Is it on the ground floor?
No.
Okay. Oh, is it in your... Is there some sort of study situation?
No.
And it's not the bath?
No.
Gosh, that cancels the question. I can't think what other rooms you would have, and it's not another spare room, and it's not, oh, hang on, is it in your bedroom, but somewhere else in your bedroom?
No.
It's not going to be in the hallway.
No.
How many questions have I got left?
Another 14 questions.
14 more questions?
Well, I'm 50, because I'll scrub one out about the bath, because I was just, because you knew it wasn't that.
This is my favourite ever episode of My Mate Bottle Taster. 15 left, okay. I'm just picturing your house.
It's not
a cupboard. Like Dracula. No,
it's not that complicated. You're being far too...
Well, how would you mean?
Complicated about it. Think of someone's house.
Yeah, I've got spare room, bedroom, bathroom. That's all we've got upstairs. Is there another room I'm missing? I've said study.
Yes, you're missing another room, and it's very obvious. But you need to think laterally. You're thinking the wrong way. You're getting too complicated. It's much simpler than you think.
I am so stuck. It's not the hallway. That doesn't count as a question because I'm just talking to myself now.
It's not on the ground floor. We know that.
Is it on the top floor?
Yes.
Ah. Hang on. Well, how many floors have you got in your house? Two or three?
Three.
Three. Okay, loft.
Well, I don't call it the loft anymore because I call it the penthouse.
Oh, lovely.
Because, you know, it's not a loft anymore. It used to be a loft.
Okay.
It had all horrible rats going around it, scratching away, and all disgusting stuff all over the place. It was a horrible room. But now it's a lovely place.
And is that where you sleep?
That's one of the, you know, that's like, it's like a creative fantasy room that I've created. It's got like an octopus mural.
No.
With 9 octopuses all holding tentacles with each other.
Oh, wow.
And a safari mural that my decorator, who's also an artist, did.
Oh, wow.
And it's also got, like it's got various things like desk for writing.
Yes.
I've got 3 desks in my house.
Have you?
Because I am, after all, a writer.
Yeah, of course, prolific.
And it's got chairs for sitting and relaxing. It's got meditation cushions.
You've got a lot of choices in your life. Yes.
And it has another place for sleeping, which you still have to guess what it is. You've got
a beanbag in the writing room, under the view of an octopus.
No, it's not beanbag.
A futon. Everyone has a futon.
What's a futon?
It's one of those 90s inventions. It's like a sofa. It's like a really uncomfortable sofa.
No, it's not
a
futon.
Not a futon. Is it a sofa?
Sort of. It's a kind of sofa.
A chaise longue?
Yes, it's a chaise longue.
Jacob Rees-Mogg style?
Yeah, so you've got now...
10 questions left.
10 questions left to guess the colour of the chaise longue, because I've always wanted a chaise longue in this colour.
So you've got a chaise longue in the loft.
Yes.
This sounds like a weird game of Cluedo, and under the octopus.
I've always wanted a chaise longue in this colour. So it was like a dream to get it.
Silver?
Not silver. And also I can reveal that I ordered it and it had to come from, I suppose, China or somewhere. Mm. And I could track it as it was going all around the earth to come to me. And it got stuck in the Suez Canal that time when that big ship blocked the Suez Canal for ages.
Yes, of course. It tried to do a 3-point turn in the Suez Canal.
I don't think it was on that ship, but it got stuck behind it for like several months. You could see it getting stuck behind it.
Can you imagine if local news had come and started asking people, how have you been affected by the Suez Canal? And they'd just stumbled upon you.
Yes.
Oh, my chaise longue is
And
stuck.
It's a nice chaise longue. It's got that like curly bit at the top and curly.
Oh, no. Yeah. I love a CL. Gold.
No.
Yellow.
No.
Orange.
Correct.
Orange.
You still had 6 questions left.
Ah! On the orange chaise longue.
Yes.
In the octopus themed loft.
With my blue blanket.
Blue boiler suit on as well?
No, I'd just be in my pyjamas then, wouldn't I? I wouldn't wear my boiler suit in bed.
Are you a PJs guy? Full on PJs?
Yeah, pyjama. When I get into the house, I like to have all my elasticated trousers and all just casual house clothing.
Yeah. So when you sit down, you've got a lot of choices in your life. You can choose to write on one of your 3 desks. You can choose to sleep in one of your 4 sleeping spots.
there's a lot of different choices. Do you struggle with that, or do you just go, are you very kind of like, this is what I'm going to do now. I'm going to go and sit up here at my desk, and I know this is the right thing to do.
Well, I like to move around.
Yes.
And for example, on my the dining table, which can be extended big for people who come, or small.
Oh, lovely.
And then I've got four chairs, and so I always swap round. So I never want one particular chair facing one particular direction to be... I don't want to get used to it.
You don't want Paul's chair?
I don't want it to be Paul's chair.
No one wants that.
And so therefore that's I so swap true. Round.
Yeah.
So, oh, I always used to sit that way facing the window. Now I sit the other way, in always changing it. And the same with, like, you know, I like to sit in all the furniture in the house.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes I think, well, I haven't sat in that chair for ages. I must sit on that chair now.
And this brings you joy?
Yes.
You live a very happy life doing this, right?
Yes. One of the things I do the least, probably, is sitting on my sofa. I hardly ever sit on my sofa.
Right, right.
It's more for guests when they sit there. I sometimes lie on the sofa.
Well, it's a nap we know from earlier on. It's a snooze spot.
It's a snooze spot. But sometimes I sit on it. Yeah. I don't have a television in my house.
You don't have a TV?
No.
But I would say that's become less weird these days because we've all got TVs in our pockets and on our watches or whatever.
That's true.
Do you watch TV at all then, on your computer?
No, I don't watch it, no.
Do you watch movies or box sets or anything?
Sometimes I watch Netflix.
Mm. On a laptop?
On the laptop.
Yeah.
I didn't used to. I only used to watch things on YouTube.
Take me... Right, okay.
I only ever watched something when I'm eating.
Okay.
So only when I'm eating. I was like, when I'm eating, I just like to have something on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, and the rest, then it goes off after that.
What do you do then?
Listen to music.
Yeah, but... But what? Okay, but then what kind of music?
Well, mostly classical and mostly the choral music of J.S. Bach.
Oh, wow.
Mostly in the BWV1 to BWV249 range.
Yeah.
That's my main thing.
I would have guessed that. And that was going to be my next guess.
A rare collection of recordings of those pieces.
Vinyl?
Some vinyl and some rare on like on CD. Like I went on a specialist. This is going back to online orders.
Good, because that is the theme of the show.
A special thing. And I wanted to order BWV 197 with Nicholas Harnoncourt conducting in 1967. Yeah. And it was so rare that it was over £1,000 on Amazon.
But
luckily I managed to find someone who sold it to me for only £14.99. And then I bought that. And then I saw it come up again, and I thought it's so rare, so I bought a second one on £14.99. And the reason for that was that I thought if I ever were to purchase a second home in Singapore, which is unlikely,
but
if I were, then I would at least have that music in both houses.
So you've got a spare?
Got a spare.
For when you get a second home?
Yes.
So you're... There's a chance that you're going to get a second home one day.
Yes.
And the only thing in it will
be BWV197.
Find us on Twitter and Instagram. At Toasterpot is the name we're trying to jam. It's simple like a Sony filled with cheese and ham. At Toasterpot, at Toasterpot, at Toasterpot, I swear it's not a scam, I think.
Before you go.
Yes.
And this has been wonderful to chat to you.
Oh, it's been very nice. Thank you for inviting me.
No, of course. I think you're brilliant. And you are on tour at the moment, and everyone should go and see you. How can we find out details about Paul Foote?
I'm on tour with my show Dissolve.
Yes.
And what people should do, if they go to HTTP, do you remember when it used to be like that? That used to have to...
Colon.
And it was a semi... what was it? Forward slash.
Yeah. Do you remember? HTTPS as well.
But it used to be like that. That used to actually have to. You used to have to go on like radio and say HTTP, www,
worldwidewe.com.
Anyway, people can. It's paulfoot.tv, or they can Google Paul Foote.
Oh, great.
Other search engines are not available.
No, they aren't.
This whole point, they're not available.
Google's eaten those.
They're gone.
Yeah,
there
yeah,
aren't any
gone.
Other ones.
Google's killed them. Now just use
they're
Google.
They're not available.
Paul Foote, before you go, there's one thing I'd like to do.
Yes.
Because you haven't given me anything on Amazon, and yet we found out so much about you. Here's an idea. Grab your phone.
Yeah.
Let's just do one thing before you go.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk about shopping and what it tells us about you, why don't we go to the source that will always tell us what you've been buying? have you got a bank account you could just quickly show me on your phone? I could just have a quick nose.
Yes, yes.
And I promise if there's anything too illuminating, I'll definitely use it. Sorry, I'll definitely edit it out.
Yes. Well, you can look at my American Express.
You're perfect.
So do you want a whole statement from...
Yeah, go on then. Let's have your latest one. Let's just have a look.
This is just recent transactions, which only goes back so far. Yeah, so we want like a proper statement.
Yeah, go on. Let's have a little look. This is... so you've got a British Airways, Amex.
Yes.
And there's lots of TFL.
Yeah, that's just me going in and out of the city, isn't it?
What is... Hey, and there's some Ubers there, look.
Yes, there's Uber,
There is... what's SP Fussy in Leighton? You spent £16.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to be 15.
16. They've added on a little cheeky pound there.
What?
Good job you did this.
Good job I checked.
Have a word.
To get onto the American Express fraud department.
Yeah. Get your money back. So you spent that on February the 10th.
Oh, that's Fussy is the deodorant. It's ever so good.
Oh.
It's really, really... I'm doing an advert for them now. But
well,
anyway,
you're a bit of an influencer.
It does work well. And it has like bacteria in it, but like the good bacteria. Like a yogurt when it's got the good...
Right, okay.
It's the same for...
Bifidus digestivum.
Because when you get odour under your arms, it's from bad bacteria.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
So it gives the good bacteria... So it kills the bad bacteria off.
Right.
It gives the good ones.
So it's happy gut health under your armpits. Yes.
And the best bit about it is that I get texts from a man called Matt, who obviously is the founder of the company.
Yes.
So I get a text, "Hi, it's Matt from Fussy here. Yeah. Just checking everything's all right with your order." It obviously just goes to the office, but I always treat it like it's Matt. And I sometimes say, "Oh, hope you're having a great Christmas."
Ask him what he's doing next week.
Yeah, and I just chat. And then sometimes they sort of give a hint, like say, "Thanks for keeping us informed."
Oh, so it's not just Matt.
Like that. But they're hoping I'll get the hint, but I refuse to get the hint. So I still just keep replying, "Oh, thanks, Matt. And it's great to hear from you," and all this stuff.
So, ask him for a photo. "Can I see a picture of your feet, Matt?" You know what I mean? Just something.
Yeah, something like that.
And let's just look at one other one, right? Look, this is good, Paul. This is a good place to wrap this up because this points us to what you're up to. The Premier Inn, Tunbridge Wells, St Austell, Bristol South, Tewkesbury and Liverpool City.
Oh, yes.
This is a man on tour.
This is some tour dates, yeah.
This is a man on tour. But here's what I'm going to ask you. Which one of those do you think was the most expensive? So we've got Liverpool, Tewkesbury, Bristol, St Austell and Cornwall and Tunbridge Wells. Now, obviously, we can't see how many nights you're there.
Yeah, some are more nights.
Well, because the most expensive one, which surprises me, but maybe because you're staying down there a while because it's nice, St Austell.
Yeah, but I'm there for about four nights.
Okay. Doing gigs every night?
Well, I'm basing myself around there for a few nights. I think it's three nights. So that would be why.
322.
322.
Liverpool, £86.
Yeah, it's only one night.
Tewkesbury, how much do you reckon at Tewkesbury was? For one night in Tewkesbury, Premier Inn?
Oh, 77?
96.
Yes. It's two rooms, though.
The cheapest one? Oh, that's nice.
They're all two rooms.
Oh, what?
Some of them are not two, but most of them are two.
Okay. What, so you've just got... You like to have multiple places to sleep?
Well, my manager and I, as we love each other, we like to sometimes, occasionally...
There should be boundaries.
You know, just to go to our own bed. You know, it's nice.
Yeah.
There's something professional about the idea of us not...
Being at it.
Being at it. Well, it's just, you know, it's not what we're supposed to be doing, is it?
I agree. You have to keep the sheen of professionalism, at least on paper. So there's a paper trail.
It's a paper trail.
There's a paper trail, but really we know what's really going on. How much Tunbridge Wells do you reckon? This is quite cheap for two rooms in Tunbridge Wells, the Premier Inn.
Tunbridge Wells is just one night. That's for various reasons. That's just me on my own.
Okay. How much? Give us a number.
£46.
67. £67. Paul Foot, coming to a town near you soon, especially if it's near St Austell, Tewkesbury, Liverpool.
Birmingham.
Cardiff.
Tunbridge Wells.
Oh, God. Tunbridge, I love a bit of Tunbridge Wells. Same boiler suit every night, the blue boiler suit?
Blue.
Okay, fine. So the green is... So this is your party boiler suit, right? If you're wearing the...
Yes, this is my... This is for the...
Paul, it's been great. I think...
Well, thanks, Tom.
I've really enjoyed seeing you again. It's been really funny and lovely. And let's do this again in a few years. Preferably don't buy anything else on Amazon, because it's funny just to go into Amazon and just find oregano.
No, well, I think I will be buying more oregano when I run out from Amazon. It'll be
okay.
And part of a pattern of...
Yeah, the oregano. I've enjoyed going through your paper trail. It's been delightful. Paul Foote, thank you so much for coming on Why Maybot a Toaster.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me on. And thank you for thanking me.
Of course. I'm thanking... Thank you for thanking me for thanking you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you for saying that.
There you go. Paul Foote done and dusted. Good, wasn't it? I love him. If you haven't already followed him on Insta or whatever, make sure you go and find him. He's very funny. And go and see him live. All right, good. So next week, the fabulous Nish Kumar is going to be joining me. Now, Nish is a brilliant comedian, and I've known him for years and years and years, and I finally bagged him on the show. We did it remotely. I was horribly late. We had a real time limit, but it's a really cracking episode. Similar vibes to Paul Foote. He didn't buy much, but what he did buy was excellent stuff. Like this little moment here. Let's play a game of, is that the sound of a man laughing or crying? I think it's laughter. He's bought it not once, not twice, but three times. That's a little insight of what's to come on the Nish Kumar episode, which is up next Wednesday. But it's also available now, ad-free and early, are at Patreon. Patreon.com/toasterpod. You can join us for as little as £3 a month, I think. And that gives you basically all the episodes early. Then there's a band at £4 a month, which is episodes early and some other stuff. And then there's £5 a month, which is... Yes, some other bits. Go and have a look. Patreon.com/toasterpod, and you can listen to the Nish episode now and see extra bits of video footage and all sorts of stuff. So, there you go. That's today's episode done. Nish Kumar next week. I love you. Goodbye. It's my mate.